Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Amen, amen, amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Today is Monday, the 14th of May, 2018. We thank you for joining us. All those who have called in at 646-668-2636, I thank you. God bless you, and thank you for your support and continuing listening. And if you're online at www.blogtalk.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we'd like to welcome you all also tonight to our program. We're going to continue talking a little bit about the power of consistency in a man of faith. And we have a guest tonight, Pastor Arthur Thompson, and he's going to come on and he's going to share some insights and wisdom on the topic, true faith produces consistency. Because us as men of God, as husbands and fathers and sons, our character counts, how people see us. Are we consistent? And if we call ourselves men of God, if we pronounce to be men of God, are we consistent in our behaviors? Are we consistent in our pattern of life? Are we consistent in our growth and spiritual growth? So are we showing consistency? Even if you were before your salvation, had a reputation of being inconsistent, unreliable, where are you now in your walk, in your faith walk? And I think that's an important thing we have to all look at, look in the mirror, see where we are, and repent and start to pursue those things. So tonight we're going to discuss a little bit to give you also a word of encouragement. As always, here's a Christian Issues, Christian Men's Talk. We don't pretend to put ourselves on pedestals like we have it all together. But I believe these are some of the things that as men we have in common. Because as men, we have more things in common than we are different. There's things that we struggle with, the burdens of family, the burdens of life, and also being able to be men of God to make an example for those around us and those coming up behind us. Amen. We're going to have prayer and have a couple of announcements, and then we'll get right into the conversation. Father, I say thank you today, Lord God. Thank you, God, for this opportunity, God. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak into the lives of men, to encourage men, to know you more, encourage men to go deeper in their faith, encourage them to submit themselves unto the Holy Spirit that they may grow, oh God, fulfill the purpose and plans that you created them for. Father, use us. Use me. Use my guests tonight. Use those who are listening, God, that they would hear a word, that they would hear something that would encourage them and stir up the spirit within them to reach out, to reach the unbeliever, the non-Christian, even those in the household of faith, that we might edify the body and glorify you in all that we do and all of and how we live. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, amen. Well, we have a couple announcements. Well, we have one announcement. We have upcoming community health fair here locally in Anne Arundel County in the Baltimore, D.C. area. It's going to be held on Saturday, May the 26th, 2018. And it's being sponsored by the Community of Love United, Covenant Lifehouse Ministries, Turning Head Barbershop, and the Grub Out Carryout over on 1153 Reese Road in Severn, Maryland. That's on Saturday, May the 26th. We invite you to come out. There's going to be prostate cancer, breast cancer screenings, high blood pressure information, treatments for minor burns, treatments for minor cuts, hygiene, healthy eating, booths and tables and folk there who can share and give you some healthy cooking tips, exercises. We're going to do a little bit of exercise out there in the yard in the parking lot, so we invite you to come out for that. And we have a list of speakers that's going to come and encourage us in our health and how we treat our bodies, how the things we eat, how we eat, getting some exercise. You know, the weather's breaking now, so it's time to get out and start walking. Because, you know, one of the things that I learned myself that, you know, just walking an hour a day can make a big difference in your body and in your health. It helps your circulation, your cardio, just 1 hour. That don't measure distance, measure time. You'd be surprised how different you feel. You might even drop a couple pounds. So we encourage you to come out and join us again on Saturday, May the 26th, 2018, at 1153 Reese Road in Severn, Maryland. It's going to be between 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And if it happens to be raining on that day, the rain date is June the 2nd. But we're praying for the sun. We're praying that it's not too hot. And we're praying that we can be able to reach the community. If you have any questions or want to participate and set up a table, you can call Brother Boone 410-412-4945. Or you can also go to Issues Christian Men's Talk, our Facebook page. Information is posted there. And you can get the information and reach out to them there if you want to come and share your organization or you have we're looking for vendors and come out and set a table up in the parking lot and reach the community. Again, a community health fair on Saturday, May 26th. Amen? Amen. Amen. And also, before we move on to the conversation, I just wanted to encourage the men of God, the body of Christ that are listening, but I know some sisters listening also, but we have to be evangelistic. We have to be salt and light in this world. That's what we're called to be. That's our great commission, our great commandment, to reach out and share with the lost. And sometimes we have to remember, everyone's not saved. Everyone wasn't raised in the church. Some people don't understand what Christianity means, what it stands for. Some folk have negative opinions about the church, the body of Christ, because all they know is, TV televangelist or TV preacher or some preacher that done something to their grandmother or whatever. In this generation, in this season, in this 21st century, we have to be able to communicate the gospel clearly, precisely to the folk. They may come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and then come to that our witness also in our lives, but also we're sharing for them to give understanding and knowledge of who Christ is, what the Bible teaches, what's it mean to be a Christian, and what must they do to be saved. So I just want to share that as part of an ongoing, the gospel is, and most of our broadcasts for this summer and for this year, we're going to start off with a simplistic gospel. And I encourage any non-believers or non-Christians or unbelievers, you can always call in at 646-668-2636. If you have any questions about Christianity or your salvation, you can always call in and ask us. And I know that there's brothers and sisters that are listening that can answer your question. If I can't find you the answer in Scripture, or give you an understanding, make it more clear. Because again, this understanding the gospel is knowing who Jesus Christ is knowing in your heart and in your mind, and then understanding your need for salvation. So I'm going to share the gospel with you real quickly, so that I can hopefully plant a seed in good ground. So the good news of the gospel is that the one and only God, who is holy, made us in his image to know him. But we sinned through Adam. Through Adam's sin, all mankind, Adam's disobedience, shall I say, all mankind has sinned and cut ourselves off from him. In his great love, Jesus, God became a man in Jesus, living a perfect life and dying on the cross, thus fulfilling the law himself and taking on himself the punishment for the sins of all those who would ever turn and trust him. Remember, it's not what you can do. It's already what Christ has done, and we're in a position because of what Adam has done. His disobedience to what God gave him, told him to do in the garden, is the reason why all mankind needs a savior. Amen. So this Jesus, he rose again from the dead, showing that God accepted Christ's sacrifice and that God's wrath against us had been exhausted. He now calls us to repent from our sins and to trust in Christ alone for our forgiveness. If we repent of our sins and trust Christ, we are born again into a new life and eternal life with God. That's what all of us is, the body of Christ. If you've heard that, that's the simplest message we can give a non-Christian or non-believer to start the conversation. You know, we can't necessarily always, you know, throw scripture at folk if they don't have an understanding, if their spirit and mind is not open to understand. But we have to be in a place where we can talk to them, to engage them, to let them ask follow-up questions. And I know that we're at that place now where we you know, even evangelism, something I learned that we learned a long time ago. You know, getting someone to do the sinner's prayer in the first 10 minutes you meet them is not necessarily a good evangelistic technique or strategy, but I'll let you take that up with your pastor, and y'all can discuss that and see how you go. But I always say evangelism, the main theme of evangelism is the go. You can't do it from the four walls of your church, can't do it from your pew, and you can't do it in your house. Amen? So we have to go. We have to go into the community. And it's one thing I always challenge the brothers here at Issue Crunchy Man Talk. How many unbelieving sinners, well, I won't say sinners, how many unbelieving friends do you have who you are being salt and light into their lives? Or all you do is hang around with other Christians, and we just pile up together in a corner, and we cut ourselves off from the rest of the world when that's spreading the gospel as we're called to do. Amen. I'll give you a minute to think about that. Meanwhile, I'll bring my guest in and let him introduce himself. Praise the Lord, Pastor Arthur. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir. You're loud and clear. Thank you, brother. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule and joining us tonight and sharing your wisdom and insight on our topic today. Well, let's begin. Could you introduce yourself to our audience? Tell us who you are and your church and where you're located.
Sure. My name is Pastor Arthur Thompson. Serve at a ministry called Living Water Ministry. And basically, our greatest goal is kind of you just encapsulize out and going out, meeting and greeting and introducing Christ to folk, you know, sowing seeds of righteousness through love and faith, you know, believing God for our brothers and sisters that have a need. We're actually located, we're housed out in Laurel, but we serve the Bowie area and, you know, working in small groups. So that's about it, my brother.
And amen, amen. I'm here. Amen, amen. All right. Well, tonight I want to talk to you. I invite you to come on tonight because I just want to give a word of encouragement because the whole conversation, the thing came about what does it mean, a true faith or saving faith? A faith that produces. And one of the things that came across that I was thinking about and I shared with you and some of the other programs we've been doing is about, for some of us, consistency can be something that we bring that out, that our life, that characterizes our life, that can show people the real power of God, depending on if we had whatever previous reputation was and how important it is. And even, and also on the other hand of that, for those of us who are in the body of Christ, are we consistent to doing those things that we need to do that God can use us? Or do we become stagnant? Do we become what we call lame duck Christians? We're not doing ministry. We're not being the church. So I'll let you open that. What do you say about that, sir, the importance of that faith is going to produce a change or consistency in the life of a man?
Well, I mean, we have to be really clear, and even from the natural, those that are not basically engulfed in the church, I'm sure that most of us understand that the only way we can be successful with anything is to be consistent. You know, the only way you can have a good, solid marriage is to be consistent with your mate. The only way you can be a good parent is to be consistent, to have one overwhelming message that you live by that you can model. You know, it's not as much as what we say, but it's how we respond and react to different circumstances. And often we have circumstances that are good and they're great and we celebrate them. Often we have circumstances that are not so good, that are bad, but all of those are experiences. And when we learn to develop a greater sense of consistency, then we're able to deal with all of those things more justly, you know, more faithfully, in the sense that we can get through them. You know, we want to be on a mountaintop, but that's not always good, because that takes away the reality of our situations. Sometimes we get stuck in the valley, and, you know, where we struggle and things aren't as always good, and we get stuck down there sometimes too. But with consistency and a level of faithfulness, you know, it's really a lot easier to be able to fulfill this walk in life. All we got to do is look around us and see the degradation and see the pain and see all the horror. And then if we think about it, why are we having these things? And more than often, it's just because we haven't found consistency in our lives. Amen.
Amen, amen, and I think you're right. I mean, you touched on it a lot. And family is one of them, and because I think it's something that we all have to consider, where we are and how we actually live and the choices we make, and all the things that we do. Because I think even being consistent in other parts of our life, or in our spiritual life, I think that the things, they're intertwined and they're connected. But as men of God, men of faith, I think that we have to also be able to be consistent in some of the spiritual things that we can grow. Because I think, you know, when we say about consistency, you know, I'll be right there, because, you know, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I want to talk to the brothers, the men of faith, the men who confess Christ in their lives. I want to encourage them, because there's things that we need to do as Christian men that should stand out in the community and in those around us, and even to be examples within the body of Christ as men being consistent in the things and where they serve. And that's where I really wanted to touch on, because, you know, it's not so much that we have because sometimes in church we get caught up with titles and responsibilities. Sometimes we mix up titles with making, you know, this is it's the pastor's job, or it's the deacon's job, or it's, you know, someone with a title. You know, because I learned a long time ago, titles are only recognition of things that we're already living out and doing. And a lot of folk in the body of Christ don't seem to understand that. People want to get to a place, and then they seem not to be, they lose their consistency. But they think they achieve because they got the title. But knowing that when we are consistent in the things that God has called us to do, being recognized in the temporal realm and by man, because we show consistency, is how the real promotion comes in the church. And that's the thing I want to always touch on there, because if we look at Scripture, we look what was written, what Paul was written, and what was written in the book of Acts, these men that were chosen for specific titles, they were already faithful men. And they were consistent in their behavior and their character, and they were well known in the community. So that's one of the things I wanted to really point out again for men of the faith who, wherever they are, and how they're serving, and what tools or what application, that's the word I'm looking for, what application should we start to see in our Christian walk to start to build consistency, even if we find ourselves to be inconsistent for whatever reason? What do you say, sir?
That's a great point. That's truly a great point. And let's broaden that a little bit, because also individually, we ought to lay a little bit more responsibility back into the local church in terms of developing individuals. You know, because you, like you said earlier, when you talked about people that the unsaved, see, we have a lot of brothers that are in the church and been in the church for a few years. And I thought about it when you were talking about the fact of the brothers getting an application. But see, often we have an application, but we don't know how to fill it out. You know, when we talk about applying things to our lives, if we don't really know those things and how they can position us to get the fruit, you know, the Bible's clear. It says that if you're willing and obedient, you can have the fruit of the land. And so often, you know, we struggle with that. But if we point our brothers to have them to understand that you're no longer enslaved to these things of the world because of the transforming power of God, you know, we have to lay this foundation of biblical dependency in the lives of our brothers today, man, in the church. And even when they go out, they have to, when they get mature enough, they have to go out and do those things. You know, Romans 16:17 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you become obedient from the heart to form the teaching to which you're committed. And having been free for sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So the same effort that we put in doing things the way of the world in terms of being consistent, being inconsistent in the important things in our lives, we have to apply those things biblically. And then we got to bring them back to the Word of God, to have them understand that if you study the Word of God, that's where your habits are built. That's where you get the information how to carry out the transforming power of God, because that's going to come through the Spirit, through prayer and through worship. And when you get the Word and that stuff gets all mixed up in you, man, then you can do something, because you recognize that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's good for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, that all the things we think that are right can be wrong, but it all has to be based on God's Word. That's how we get to develop a sense of consistency. You know, you hear a lot of brothers say, what's going on, man? I'm in the grind. I'm trying to make that money. But they don't understand that if we grind for the Lord, He's promised us to open up doors, windows, and opportunities, brother, that we could have so much that we wouldn't even have room enough to receive it. And it's not all monetary. It's you look at this time of the year when so many black men are getting murdered, but then let's look at the numbers of black men that are graduating from college, graduating from graduate school, that graduating from high school, that are setting themselves up for opportunity, but somebody has to be there with their seeds. And for us older brothers, we got to understand that that revelation might just come to us right now, but we got to run with it right now because we just can't put it off. You know, a lot of times we've been so inconsistent for so long, and then we've made it to the point of complete inconsistency that we haven't moved ourselves back to have a cognitive ability to recognize that everything around us is just existing. It's not being fruitful for the kingdom of God. I would take those four three things and say that, listen, that we will get with the transforming power of God, develop a life of worship and devotion, and then study that Word of God to a point that you can start applying the things to our life. And then you must work. You got to work at being consistent. You just can't tell little lies. You just cannot do little things to not show up. You know, you got to be consistent and be honest with all the people that matter that are around you, and get out of the the stagnant mindset of saying that I'll do it tomorrow, or I got to wait till I get the right suit to go to church. Matter of fact, you don't even have to go to the church building. Go to the brother down the street that you know love the Lord and share your plight with him, and he can help you get it right. But we can do those three things, my brother. Those four things, I pray. I know that we can all get better at this deal. Amen?
Amen, sir. Amen. You're absolutely correct. And you touched on a lot there that I just wanted to emphasize. That's what it's about. It's about us setting up the practices and habits in our life, the habits of studying the Word, the habits of prayer, the habits of worship. I mean, we do a lot. You know, it's something I learned. I'll put it this way. It's something I learned a long time ago, that we have to be able, we individually, men, have to have that relationship with God. And doing these things is not only in the congregational setting or in the corporate. Mm-hmm. It's in our personal life. And that's where we have to, I mean, I'm not going to say, because, you know, you touched on a lot, and a lot of it comes back to, are we making disciples and are we being disciples? Are we mentoring or are we being mentored? What is our life? What does our spiritual life look like? You know, what are we doing when we go to church? Do we go to church on a Sunday with expectation, or are we going to do, you know, something I always talk about, people who know, listen to the show, you know, people just punching your spiritual time clock. You did 3 hours on Sunday, think you're good, you really think you're saved, and you think you're pleasing God because you showed up. And is that enough to keep your marriage together? Is that enough to keep for you to be able to teach your children? Is that enough for you to keep you up home in prayer? If 3 hours a week is good enough for all those things that you have to deal with, then you know what? If you like your life, I love your life. But if you realize at some point that you need more of God to keep into, because you, again, this confession of faith is something that we did. God didn't break our twist our arm and threaten us. We confess Christ. Right. We confess to be a Christian. But now, are we consistent in those things of God? Are we consistent? You know, I want to, as we continue to move, I just wanted to share a scripture that helped me get to this. It was in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. So the things that we want to do for the Lord, and like you said, it's not about the titles. I want to emphasize that, because husband is a title and a responsibility.
Yes.
Father is a title and a responsibility. Are we being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord to be a husband to our wife and a father to our children? And then from that, you know, again, I encourage you, brother, this is what I call one of those man in the mirror moments. We have to look at ourselves and look the Word. We measure ourselves by the Word of God, not by, you don't look at Deacon Farr, you look at Pastor Arthur, you look at the Word of God and you know where you, and you figure out where you are there and what you need to do. But again, all we in that consistency is, again, that's something we have to really focus on when it comes to the spirit, in the spiritual walk, in this walk of God, and to be men of God, and to be, you know, slaves to righteousness. I mean, slavery. If I tell you slave, we all know slaves don't have no choice. Slaves does what the master calls them to do. Simple as that. So if we're slaves to righteousness, are we slaves to righteousness? It's simple as that. But then we have to consider, are we rebellious slaves? Because when we were sinners, it seemed like we didn't have a problem. You know, we didn't seem like we had a problem being obedient to that sin. Because we, you know, for some of us, we enjoyed the pleasures. Because some of us sinned good, and we enjoyed it, and we did it very well.
Amen.
Amen. But let me ask you this, though, Pastor. Well, first, let me do a quick media break. You're listening to Issues, Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and every Saturday at 9 a.m. And tonight, I have a guest. I thank my brother for calling in and joining us tonight, Pastor Arthur Thompson. And we're talking about consistency and being consistent and what our true faith produces, a character of consistency. Because, again, are we, as men of God, Christian men, Does our character portray a consistent lifestyle to those who know us and those who see us as who know us as and know us personally, know us intimately? And are we showing that to the community, on our jobs, in the church? You know, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but are we in all areas of our life showing consistency? You know, and it goes back to, are we paying our bills on time? Are you, you know, doing those things on time? Is you know, is your BG&E paid? Is your rent on time? Or do you pay your rent right before the late date? Or do you pay it when it's supposed to be done on the 1st? Or, you know, are you waiting to the 16th before they put the eviction notice and you get a court date, then you send the rent in? I just want to keep it real a minute because those who are listening think, you know, we're talking about supernatural stuff. We're talking about some natural stuff, too, when we're talking about consistency. So I just wanted to put that out there. But, Pastor, let me ask you a question. when we talk about – I give the brothers the time to soak that in. But when we talk about consistency, you talked about it earlier, and I want to go back to it, that as we start to get deeper into the Word and what the Word of God to grow our faith, you know, to seek to go draw closer to God, to increase our time of prayer, to increase our time of studying, and seeking to know more of Him, where we get to a place where we can be using. I mean, how do you encourage men to that? Because as you know, I'll put this out there because, you know, sometimes you put the church on blast, you know, and I see it, I hear about it a lot, you know. Folk don't show up to Bible study. I'm going to put it just like that. You find in some ministries, I'm not going to say all because I don't do blankets, but you know who you are, that folk make a lot of you, because you mentioned it earlier, about making a lot of excuses on why they can't come to midweek services. They can't come to Bible studies, you know, and but then how do you say that you're this when you're not doing that? How do you say, Pastor?
Well, I think you touched on it. When you talk about the cycle, I actually have a presentation that I've done that basically breaks down the clock and, you know, the 24 hours in a day. And we got to recognize that which we spend the most time with is that which has a greater reflection of our outward appearance. And if you don't get it internally and personally, you know, one-on-one, we're always going to struggle. But see, we have people that have prioritized things in their lives, you know, and with the advent of social media, with the advent of opportunities that we've had before us, we and this goes back to men who should be leading in our household and community. And that's not to sit our women down, but what I'm saying is that, you know, when the original sin first happened in the garden, who did God call out? He called out Adam, and that was with a purpose. And, you know, we don't rule with an iron hand. We rule with love and consistency to be able to be the quiet in the midst of the storm. And so when, you know, you have brothers that want the titles and they want the responsibilities, but I'm going to flip this on you a little bit. And I believe inherently there's a sense of fear. There's a sense of fear of relinquishing that which they have more control over to that which they have to look more unto to be able to be guided into what they need to be. And I think that a lot of brothers, man, I remember I was at a sort of large church and we had a men's choir, and I was on a men's choir, man. We get 150 guys out, man, on Wednesday night. So I went to the senior pastor. I said, look, man, I'm going to start breaking a little word that first 30 minutes off because we get so many in there. Man, the brothers stopped coming 30 minutes late. So they couldn't get there. But I think it's more back to modeling. It's more back for those of us that have been integrated into this walk of faith. You know, and we have to have our brothers know and understand that, you know, fear is one of our greatest enemies, and that can shut down our faith, our hope, and even the love that we should have for our families. Because, you know, we have this mantra in our neighborhood where, you know, we don't go for counseling. You know, we just feel like we can carry the weight of the world, not recognizing that Jesus has already died for all of our sins, has died for the sins of the world. So we just have to commit more to him and, you know, develop a greater sense of consistency to be able to deal with all the wiles of the world and all the evil things that are in front of us. So that would be that's my challenge, is to try to encourage our brothers to model that sense of faithfulness, not be perfect, but to be the best I can be and be as transparent as I can be, so the brothers can have someone to confess and talk to, and preferably, you know, we can build each other up. What does the scripture say? Iron sharpens iron, so then goes the countenance of men. Amen?
Amen, sir. And that's the thing we talk about, you know, that we have to be able to, we have to set that thing up. It's funny you said that about the choir. They figured that dude's going to hit a hill. They're going to get preached for 30 minutes, so they show up 30 minutes late. But that's I repent. I pray for their repentance. But anyway, but yeah, it's wow. But you're right. It's let me think here, because there's so much running through my head. But it's that. We have to teach men that it's important. Again, it goes back to our confession of our faith. Do we believe the word of God? Do we believe the word of God? Is the Bible important? Do we believe what the Bible teaches? I think that's where it starts. Is it the word of God, and do we truly believe that what God has written for us is for our growth, for our admonition, for our rebuke? And then do we believe that God hears our prayers? Even when we develop a consistent prayer life, do we understand that God hears our prayers, and do we really believe it? I think that's where a lot of our actions and how we apply it and how we do, we really believe. And I think that's some of it. You know, when you talk about that fear factor, it's you know, I think a lot of men go through, because when we talk about surrender, you know, there's certain words when we use it with brothers, it's, you know, they want to give up with themselves, and it's hard. I mean, for those of us who've been in the military, we understand it somewhat in the natural. Because any branch you serve, that's what they do. They do you in boot camp. They start to reprogram you. They transform you too, because they want you to be. They want you to be consistent. So everybody does the same thing, and everyone gets the same training, and everyone has to reach certain, you know, marks or achieve a certain level of success and training. And I think that I ain't gonna say men. I say the body of Christ in general really doesn't see that, but. If we look at scripture, if we look what Paul wrote into his letters, you got to remember, Paul wrote to these churches that he planted, and he had to write back to them to encourage them and correct them, because, you know, they forgot what they drifted off, because we all will drift off because we're human, you know, and then when we talked about, you know, what God is looking for us as men, he's not looking for perfect men, he's looking for obedient men and mature men. And I think that's where we have to, as men, we have to see that. Because it's just like anything else. I always relate it back to our jobs and our professions, no matter what you do. I don't care if you're a carpenter, a construction guy, or what's the guy on the side of the road, you're doing construction, you're laying asphalt, you're digging ditches and all that. You learn how to do it, you do it proficiently, you do it correctly, and there's quality control to what you do. But in our faith, we don't bring that same passion and consistency to the spiritual side of our life for some reason. And I think that's because, again, I'll say this, because we all know guys on our job who do lousy work and still keep their job. But do you want to be that guy in church? Do you want to be that guy that stands before God and you just did? I go back to my previous statement. You just punched your spiritual time clock, and you thought you was good. You quote unquote gave your life to Christ in the sinner's prayer, or however your ministry or denomination does it, and then you think you're okay, and you've 35 years in the church, and you haven't served in no way, no how. And I'm gonna throw this out, and I'm gonna come back to you right here, but I'm gonna throw this out to some of my men, some of my brothers that are listening. Look around your church and see who brings the Bible to church and who brings the Bible to Bible study, you know, and a notebook. I'm going big because I'm going with a notebook right now. I'm going with a notebook and a Bible when you come together. Because do we have expectation? What do you say, sir? I'll let you go because
yes,
if I keep going, I might lose some calls. Amen?
No, you're there. You're there. You're there because actually while you were doing that, I'm going back to a devotional that I read some time ago. And because it was something so critical, and to see this is how God does this thing, that when we develop a sense of consistency in terms of doing devotional, and sometimes you wonder, why am I reading this? But yet, you know, God has his purpose. And this one sentence read out, and it says, living a life consistency allows us to be ordered in our thoughts and sure-footed in our decisions. And see, that's a key line. That actually could be a mission statement for a church because, see, it like you say, it's not only for the men, it's for all the people in the church because he says living a life of consistency, okay? When you are in a position that you can model something over and over again, then your thoughts are such to go back to that process which you have been developed, which you're developing. And then you're sure-footed, and then you're going to be able to move in a positive fashion. Now, here's the key thing to all of this is linking this to a foundation. See, if believers, if we never get the full foundation of the transformation power of God, transforming power of God, the Word of God, and then if we don't grind at it, that we want this to be the very center of our being. Now, I'm not saying people have to go to church every day all the time. I don't say that people have to do, like, you know, you say your notebook. I do an iPad. I can record. I can do everything on my iPad. And then I could, like I said, I just pull this up right here. It's a little program I have that I can put my little quotes in. Then the other side I can put my scriptures in because I need those things as a point of reference to be able to support me in my sure-footedness to make sure that I'm not only giving my opinion, but I'm giving things that are based on the Word of God. Because principle is the foundation that supports our faith. If we just don't believe in Jesus Christ, you know, who was sacrificed, wasn't murdered, he sacrificed his life for us. If we can't understand that grace, then that's a foundational issue. But if we can understand it, then we got to understand that our brothers and sisters, we have to apply that to each other in such a profound and an outright way because love can cover a multitude of sins. You would know that. I know that. But we need to get our other people to understand that because so often we're so quick to judge and we're so quick to look at what we envision out of people and not getting enough of them to understand their full intent or knowing enough of the Word of God to know that these people are vehicles from God. And, you know, we can only operate in Christ as a believer, as a Christian, if we're operating on the principle of faith based on the Word of God. We got to look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and see all of those folks that were found faithful in the eyes of God and why God gave them their great reward. Luke 16 and 13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. And we've got to be really clear on these basic tenets of faith to understand that he is a jealous God. He only wants us to love him, you know, because otherwise we get weary in our well-doing, Galatians 6 and 9, and then we lose our faith, man. We get to the point where we don't see it because we don't believe God is doing it. But we never question enough whether or not we're faithful enough to receive that which God has for us because we've been so inconsistent. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right. And that's what we do. We go so far, and if we don't see something happening, we get discouraged. We go into the dry season. But I think when we build ourselves up, even when we get into a dry season, we are consistent in our prayer. We're consistent in those things and in those habits that we pick up, that we continue to press, because, you know, we're just human beings, and we're flesh, and we succumb to our environment sometimes. And unfortunately, even in the church, this culture, we want instant. It's all about instant. No one wants to endure the process or to be developed. And that's where I go back to, the study of God's word and Bible study, and coming with expectation. Are we making disciples? Are we allowing ourselves to submit and be disciples? Because Jesus called the church. He gave all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And are we going? Well, first of all, are we being discipled? Have we submitted ourselves to the place where we're being discipled in the things of God by the man of God who come and teach and stand before us? Then are we now prepared to go disciple others? And this way it goes back to, titles. There's different roles, and there's roles and responsibilities within the body of Christ, but we're all called to make disciples. And that's where we lose that scripture and that mandate that Christ has given us as believers. And are we preparing ourselves? I mean, it's something I learned a long time ago. A pastor told me once that you learn so that you may be able to teach. So are we submitting ourselves unto be discipled so that we may be disciples of someone else? Because, you know, it's one of the things that I always talk here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is there's a soul out there that's not going to hear the gospel by any of the great TV preachers or your pastor or whoever we think. But there's one soul that's dependent on you to be able to speak word, to speak life, and to be able to share the gospel and disciple them into that place. Because they're not going to go to a church every week. But if they're in your presence three times a week, that gives you at least two of those three times to be able to sow into their lives the things of God, the word of God, the principles of God. But if you don't have it to give, then you call yourself, you're a confessed Christian, and the people, and then you're not impacting no one around you. You're not encouraging no one. You're not edifying anyone. You're not sharing the gospel, you know, and we get caught up with we want to get, you know, I just sometimes we don't. I think we have to just look at ourselves in the mirror. Are we really looking for transform? We want to make people think that we want to transform people on the outside. I mean, you mentioned it before about getting a suit and getting dressed up and making our tie match our shoes and all that stuff. But that's not what God's looking for. That's not God's looking for inside conversions from the inside out. Because again, our changing our outside. You know, I know brothers right now that are tattooed up. They came from a different place, but they can share the gospel with those who look like just how they look. Because God is not mocked. God knows exactly who we are, and he's going to use who we are. We're not called to change anything about us, because he's going to use us right where we're at to reach someone that was just like us. So if we put everybody in suit and ties, there's people right now who never wear a suit and tie and a shirt and spend money on shoes that match their handkerchief. And if that's the qualification of getting in heaven, we're going to leave a whole lot of people out. I'm just saying. And that's sometimes the mentality. We want to dress people up. We want to fix up the outside and then think the outside, because they look better and different on the outside. Their inside is somehow going to change. This is where we're talking about, are we consistent in those things? Because are we consistent in being disciples that we might learn how to disciple others and speak life, speak real life and salvation into other men's lives? And into our families' lives, into our children's lives, and being the husband that our wife, that God has called us to be to our wife. So that's what we have to look at as men of God, as Christian men. Amen.
Amen.
Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Pastor Arthur Thompson, and we're sharing today the power of consistency and just giving an encouragement for the brothers. You know, all the things that we say tonight, again, I don't want us to come off as we're talking from a pedestal that we have it all together. We're men, we're husbands, we're fathers, grandfathers. We deal with the same things you deal with. We have dealt with the same things. We're called to be the husband to our wives. We're called to be the father to our children. But we know from my experience and for our consistency in the Word of God, that God is in control and God has the power to transform lives. But we have to be in that. We have to be in the right place that God can use us, that we can be a man that God can use right where we are, and thereby start to change the lives of people around us, our circle of influence, our families, and being consistent is one of those things, you know. And I think that's one of the things we have to really consider as men, the bigger picture of what goes on when we're inconsistent, when we don't show up. And then for the body of Christ, I don't know any pastor. I always share this with the brothers out there, Pastor Arthur, that, you know, if you went to your pastor this week and asked your pastor, what does he need done? Trust me, he has something he needs you to do. He has something where he needs some men to step into. But then again, your pastor knows you. So if you're inconsistent in other things, like he never sees you at Bible study, I don't think he's really going to trust you to do a ministry thing. So be careful. You step to your pastor, how can I help? Be prepared to help. And sometimes when it comes to ministry, it's going to be about sacrifice. It's going to be about sacrifice. And you're going to have to, between sacrifice and balance. And again, this is, again, we as men, we have to look at ourselves and see. You know, churches and communities are a certain way because men are inconsistent. And this is where I want to be able to open the discussion, open the hearts, stir the spirits up within us, and men in the body of Christ, and to encourage us to start to be different. Because the summer, springtime's here, summer's coming, and I always do, ever since the weather broke, it's time for the body of Christ to get outside the building, get outside the buildings, and we need to reach the lost. We need to reach the unbeliever. We need to reach the non-Christian. I mean, it's a combination of love, but there's also a combination. Some of it is the intellectual part. Can we share the gospel? Can we answer their questions? Because some folk are not, you know, always want to banter and mock and debate. Some folk honestly and truly don't know or understand Christianity because there's so much delusion out there and lies and other things. But if they come to you, can you give them the pure, unadulterated gospel that would be able to anchor their faith? And can you sow seed in good ground if it's presented before you? Pastor, what do you say, sir?
My brother, you right on it, man. I saw this past weekend. We had this festival called Main Street Festival down here in Laurel. And, man, we have so many churches in Laurel now. Sometimes I want to say myself, we don't need no more churches. What we need is people that love the Lord. And you could walk by these tents and people just give you a piece of paper and they believe that's enough. And in some instances, what you were trying to intimate, I think that's true, because sometimes we can be so theologically deep that we can't reach the average guy. But then sometimes we're so simplistic and we have people believing that you can walk into this thing tomorrow and all your problems will be washed away. But it's even more than that. A very interesting scripture in Titus chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, it says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Now let's think about that text for a minute. And we're challenged to show ourselves in all respects to be a model of good works, in thought, word, and deed. Now for me, what that pictures is me, never one, taking for granted that I believe everybody's saved, even though they might tell me. Number two, that means that I may not have on a suit all the time, but I'm clothed in righteousness, that my love will be apparent, that people will know that I genuinely care about them, and I make a gallant attempt to listen to them so they can know that I've been tenderized with the grace of God to be able to lend something to them. And he says, let your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech. I don't need to flip people off with big words. I definitely don't want a lot of people and have them think that if you come to my church or you go to Brother Joe's church, that everything is going to be different. I want people to make the choice of the church of their own once they find Christ. You know, dignity. I want to speak to people in such a way, if they look homeless, if they look rich, if they're in the middle of the ground, if they have issues with whatever's going on in their lives, you know, I have to still treat them like God has something better for them. God has a plan for them. And I don't want my speech to be condemned to make sure that I'm putting too much about myself and not as much about my Savior, you know, because people will look at that and say, I might think I'm their Savior. So, you know, I don't want to put nobody to shame, but I want to make sure that people can make a real discerning difference between me and Satan, between me and the world. See, we have a lot of believers now. We have a lot of ministries. Let's be brutally honest here. We have a lot of ministries that just fluffed up, and they're just existing with all of the things of the world to make people feel comfortable. And I believe you can do what you feel compelled to do, but it has to align with the Word of God. And that's why we have so many people that are crisscrossed and that are wrapped up with, you know, trying to do both. And God is looking for some committed people. And like you talked about the pastors, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't even have to wait for your pastor to tell you something. You're wise enough. Look around and see what needs to be done in the church and then present something to the pastor in terms of what you can do to make that difference. I mean, sometimes as pastors, man, it's hard because you put things in front of people. And then they run away because they feel like you put too much on them. Or then you're waiting for them, and then they never come, and they get tired, and they run away because you haven't given them enough. So as mature believers, and I say that to be clear, as mature believers, God puts you in a ministry to serve. Chairs have four legs on them. They don't need nobody to hold them up. So we got to get out here and serve. It's people that are dying and going to hell. The last three funerals I went through, people I went to school with years ago, they were the most worst funerals you ever want to go to. And that grieves me in my heart because it's nothing worse than going to sit in a funeral and they say, oh, Brother Joe was just a good guy. Oh, Brother Joe just, you know, he had a nice car. You know, I want to know that Brother Joe did enough to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I take it personal when I don't, because I feel like I failed my Savior. You know what I mean, brother?
Amen, brother. And you're right. I'm getting to that age. You're right. You look around. Well, all of us as men, we need to look around, no matter how old we are, because we know that, you know, any moment, if folk can lose their lives, they can be called home. And we have to, are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we sharing a word? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we letting people know that there's something after this life? Are we doing our part? Because every man, every person, every human being has to make a choice. But are we sharing the gospel that they might know and then be able to make an informed choice? Because again, the thief on the cross, once he realized who Jesus was, he told them, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And sometimes we have to be faithful to just do that. Amen. Well, you've been listening to this Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr, and we're here with Pastor Arthur Thompson. Pastor, I appreciate you for joining us tonight. I just want to ask you if you could close us out in prayer. And brother, and again, I just thank you and give you honor and taking time out your schedule and sharing some wisdom. I pray that anyone was listening, where someone was encouraged, someone's spirit was stirred up, someone would think about what we said tonight and be different. Tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow you can change someone else's life by just changing the way that you carry yourself and do something different. If you could close us out, brother, we have about one and a half minutes. Thank you.
Amen. I mean, a microwave prayer to get through. Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor, Lord, because you're faithful. Now, Lord, we pray for our faithfulness, Lord. We pray that through and by your power, Lord, we grow up to be all that you called us to be, Lord. We be a greater father, a greater husband, a greater worker, and just a great evangelist, Lord, sharing your grace and your love to those that are lost and those that are struggling, because there's so many of us, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity tonight, Lord, to go online and be able to share your gospel, Lord. You can move in all kind of ways, Lord. We pray that some ears were pricked and some challenges were put out for my brothers and my sisters that may be listening to be great and do a greater work for you, which you require of us. We love you, Lord God. I thank you for my brother Farr, Deacon Farr, and this ministry. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, and we'll talk soon.
All right. God bless you, brother.